And gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this awesome opportunity, my Father God, to assemble ourselves together, Lord, myself and all of those who are under the sound of my voice, Father, and sit at your feet, Lord, at the feet of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and to receive from you the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed of your word, my Father. And, Lord, that you would plant that into our hearts, Father. And I pray, Lord, today that, Lord, you are so, Lord, not just among the wayside or the stony ground or the thorny ground, but let your seed will fall on good ground today, my Father, and produce in our lives some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold return, my Father. And right now, Lord, we just humble ourselves under your mighty hands and the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And we say, Holy Spirit, you can have your way. You can have your way on this radio broadcast. You can anoint our ears to hear what you have to say to the church today. And you can anoint these lips of clay to minister to the needs of us, the people of God. And Father, we thank you for your love for us, for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now speak to our hearts, my Father, and be it unto us according to your word. And as in always, Father, we are always careful to make sure that we give you all of the credit all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit, have your way on this broadcast today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. I like to come on the radio broadcast and always, you know, acknowledge you in that way. Not just men of God and not just women of God, but mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Glory to God. Hey, they can do exploit. They can do great and mighty things. You know, the Bible says that God searches to and fro the earth looking for men and women who he can show himself strong on their behalf. He's looking for mighty men and mighty women that can do exploits. That's mighty men, mighty women that can do what the work that he called us to do. And what work did he call us to do? Boy, to destroy the works of the devil, to reestablish his government back on the earth, to win souls to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. To destroy the works of the devil, to cast out devils, heal the sick, hallelujah, proclaim the good news to the poor and heal the brokenhearted and recover the sight of the blind and set at liberty those who are bound and set the captives free and proclaim to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Father, you searching for mighty men and mighty women that you can do that work through. And Lord, you know, as you do that, Father, we yield ourselves and say, Lord, if you're looking to and fro the earth, looking for mighty men and mighty women that you can do exploits to, then we say unto you, Lord, hey, we are available, my Father. You found us, Father. And again, we humble ourselves under your mighty hands, hallelujah, so that you can get your work done through us. And again, we count it an honor and a privilege. And we know that, Lord, we have not chosen you, but you have chosen us, my Father. And once again, it's an honor and a privilege. So I say it again, hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. It's an honor and a privilege, boy, to sit at the feet of Jesus, to sit at and eat from the King's table. Glory to God, boy, to not only hear what God spoke to us in time past through the prophets, but, boy, to hear what he's saying to us today, in this day and hour. And in time past, he spoke to us through the prophets. But in this day and time, boy, he want to speak to us himself. That's why I say, boy, he invited us to a banquet that he gave for his son. The Bible says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a great banquet that a king gave for his son. And, boy, we've been invited, boy, to come, man, and to that banquet, hallelujah, and eat, watch this here, not from the servant's table, but eat from the king's table, hallelujah. What's eating from the servant's table? That's eating from, man, you know, the all of the fivefold ministries, the prophets, the Old Testament characters, all the books and teachings that we come up under, you know, the ministry that we come up under, you know, all of it is a servant table. But he wants us to come past the servant table, boy, and eat from the king's table. What's the servant table? That's all that we say. What's the king table? Well, that's all that he say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To say that again, Arthur. Well, from the servant table, that's what you eat from all, you know, the word that you hear through, that we hear through one another, and the exhortation that we hear through one another. And that's a good thing. Don't misunderstand it. But, boy, something greater than that, boy, than eating from the servant's table, and when you can eat from the king's table. I told you, boy, Hebrews say in time past, God spoke to us through the servant. But in this day and time, he's speaking to us himself through his son. Hallelujah, boy. And boy, what he spoke to us through the servant table was a good word and a good thing. But what he's speaking to us from the king's table, well, that's a great thing. Hallelujah. 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 And again, what an honor and a privilege it is for us to assemble ourselves together under the mighty hands of the Most High God and eat from the king's table. I like to say it this way, boy, listen. What the king say, go. In other words, what God say, go. Thank God for what God spoke to us through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the Old Testament characters, boy. Boy, but what he's saying to us today, boy, is what he spoke, man, even before he spoke to them. That which was not only in the beginning, but that which was from the beginning. You know, I discovered something. I come to the realization of something, you know. And that's this, you know, that we as the church, we have a lot of information. We know a lot of word, you know. We study in our theologies and our schools and everything else. Boy, they can exegete the scriptures, man. They can break it down into Greek and Hebrew and all that. They got degrees and education and information as far as the word of God is concerned, you know. They got master's degrees, bachelor's degrees, doctorate degrees, PhD degrees in theology and our philosophy and everything else. A lot of information, but very little revelation. You know, the information is good, but boy, you know, we know a lot, but we don't know a lot about what we know. Revelation is when we get information about what we know. You know, you can get information from our five-sense reasoning. But boy, revelation, man, knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit. Listen, who knows the mind of God, save the Spirit of God? Who can reveal to us, boy, what's really going on, man, but the Spirit of God? You know, he's the least known and the most neglected in the Godhead. You know, we know Jesus. We know a little bit about Jesus. We know a little bit about God. You know, but we know very little about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit power. And we need to know this, that he's the most necessary one in the Godhead. Listen, the least known one and the most neglected one in the Godhead is the one that's most necessary. Wow, what you saying, Arthur? I told you we got a lot of information, but no demonstration. We can tell you what the word say, and we can tell you, you know, and we can tell you what Jesus did and how he opened blind eyes and unstopped their ears and raised the dead and all the great works that he did and the mighty works that he did. But boy, we can't demonstrate that. Paul said this. He said, my preaching and my teaching is not just with enticing words of my wisdom or man's wisdom, or what I learned, you know. And he said, boy, he learned a lot, you know. He was a well-educated man, especially in theology. But he said, I count all that as done that I might know not just information, but revelation knowledge. See, there are two types of knowledge. There's sense knowledge, and then there's revelation knowledge. Sense knowledge is knowledge that we derive from our five sense reasonings. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that's revealed to us, boy, by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I say it again, boy, the most thing that we know about him, boy, is that he's the third member of the doxology or the Trinity. You know, we know as the Father. Like I say, we know a little bit about God, and we pray to him. We know about Jesus, how he died on the cross for our sin. But we know very little about the Holy Ghost and who he is and his role in the scene when God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Do you know that mean, man, all three of them had a role to play? Even though they three, but they one, and they function together as one. And in the creation, everything, all three of them have a role to play. The Father, that's the source that sustains. The Son, that's the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, that's the power of God. Watch this here. Not only the power of God, but the power of God, boy, that manifests Jesus, that manifests what the Word is saying. Now, don't only just talk about what the word is saying, but manifest it. Hallelujah. That demonstrate it. Like I said, we got a lot of information, you know, and a lot of entertainment crowd and a lot of emotional stirring up and everything else, but very little demonstration of the word of God. And, you know, I came to realize this. That's why the gospel of the kingdom is not the central focus of every message that we as ministers of the gospel boy proclaim to men, to people of God. And I believe that I discovered one of the reasons why. Because this message of the gospel of the kingdom is not just enticing words of man's wisdom, but it got to be demonstrated. There's a boy, Jesus, man, went about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. What he was doing, he was seeking and saving the lost. He was healing all manner of sickness and disease. He was opening blind eyes and unstopping deaf ears. He was causing the lame to walk and the dumb to talk and the blind to see. He was healing the brokenhearted, boy, and setting at liberty all those who were bound and captive and under habits and controls and all that, boy. And he was proclaiming to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl but that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. What do you mean the acceptable year of the Lord? This is the time, boy, to be saved. This is the time to be healed. This is the time to be endowed with power from on high. This is the time, man, that not only, boy, proclaim and preach the gospel, boy, but demonstrate this gospel. Hallelujah. Boy, this is the time. And boy, he came proclaiming that, man, and not only proclaiming that, but demonstrating that. He wasn't just praying for the sick, he was healing the sick. He was casting out devils. He was going about doing good, like I told you, destroying the works of the devil and healing all those who was oppressed of the devil. What he was doing, all the boy, he was demonstrating what he was preaching. How was he doing that? You know all the mighty works that Jesus Christ did upon the face of the earth and all that we hear about and everything else? He never attributed none of those mighty works to himself. You know what he said? He said this here, boy, the Spirit of the Lord, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are bound, to recover the sight to the blind, to set the captives free, and to proclaim the year of Jubilee. Who do you say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. It's he that doeth the work. I'm the material that he needs. I'm the word that he needs. And the only word that he can manifest in the earth is the word of the Most High God. And Jesus said, that's who I am. I'm the word of the Most High God. I'm the material that the Holy Spirit uses to bring into reality and manifestation what thus said the Lord. Not just with enticing words, but in demonstration and in power. That's what the Lord say, boy, he's the least known, but the most needed. Right? He's the power of God. He's the one who manifests, boy, Jesus in the earth. He don't speak of himself, but he only going to speak, boy, what he, of Jesus, and he going to testify of him. And he's going to lead and guide us into the truth of everything that Jesus Christ, boy, has spoken to the church. What you mean, truth? I'm not just talking about true or false. That word truth means the reality of it, the manifestation of it. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is the least known and the most neglected, but the most necessary one. Because without him, boy, all we have is a lot of talk, and it's good talk, but no demonstration. Hey, listen. You know when Jesus was getting ready to, after he had finished his work on the earth, you know, and he had came and brought the governing system of God back to the earth, reestablished the kingdom of God back up on the earth, died on the cross, boy, to cleanse us up from all our unrighteousness so that you and I can come back into the kingdom of God, back into the Garden of Eden, and back into the literal presence of the Lord, and most important, boy, receive the promise from the Father, you know. After he had did those things, the Bible say, and died, then the Bible say when he was raised from the dead, he met with his disciples. Over in the book of St. John, you know. And in St. John, he met with his disciples. Let me just read something to you, you know, over in St. John. And this was right, you know, Jesus getting ready to go back up to hell, you know, shortly before then, you know. And he had appeared unto Mary Magdalene. This is, you know, before this part that I'm going to read. And until, you know, two of the other disciples were. But they didn't believe, you know. But in fact, they was in fear. They was hiding. And he said they didn't kill Jesus 3 days ahead before, and they was in fear, man. They killed Jesus, boy, they gonna find us, they'll kill us too. But the Bible say they was all in the room with the door shut, the windows locked, and everything else. The Bible say then came Jesus and walked through the door. That's in John chapter 20. Let me read that to you. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day and evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, again, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, watch this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And whosoever sins you shall remit, they shall be remitted. And unto them whosoever sins you shall retain, they be retained. And watch this here. And he said, but Thomas, one of the 12, called on Didymus, he was not with him. And when he came, you know, Jesus appeared to them again and told them to thrust your hands into my hand and say, and be now that unbelief. You know, that's when Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, and he's right shortly before he was getting ready to go back up. And now the penalty for sin was met, the righteous demands of a just God was met, the penalty for sin paid in full. Now, boy, mankind is cleansed from all unrighteousness, and Jesus, man, came unto them, and he breathed unto them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. What the most necessary one in the Trinity. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. So after they got saved, just like you and I, you know, we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we accepted him, boy, as our Lord and Savior, man, and we became the children of the Most High God through faith in him, boy, we received the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That which we had lost in the garden, boy, and Adam and Eve, boy, after Jesus Christ cleansed us back up from all our unrighteousness, then he breathed back on the inside. Watch this here. Not unholy vessels no more, but holy vessels washed by the blood of the Lamb, boy. And he breathed into the anointing, just like God did in Genesis chapter 1, man. He formed man's body from the dust of the ground. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 2. Verse 7, he formed man's body from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into man's body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He released on the inside of that body, boy, listen, the spirit of man, the Holy Spirit that's going to reside in the spirit of man, and gave man, boy, a soul, a mind, a will, and emotion, and then provided a body for us to live in. What happened then, boy? I'm telling you, boy, the most necessary one. God released in Adam, boy, in the garden when he breathed in him the breath of life, the spirit of man, and the Holy Spirit of the Most High God. You know what happened, man, in Genesis chapter 3, boy, when Adam and them disobeyed. Then that Holy Spirit, the most necessary one in the Godhead to carry out the work of God in the earth, he departed. He left. He couldn't live in no unclean temples no more. That's why I say, boy, when Jesus Christ came, boy, he told them, boy, listen, you're going to receive power from on high, but the promise of the Father. And, boy, he come to cleanse us up from all unrighteousness, boy. And one of his main purposes for doing all of that, boy, so that, boy, you and I can once again be candidates, boy, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. See, if you don't know that, then you don't know what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. Who he is, and not only who he is, why he is. And if we don't understand who he is and why he is and the purpose for him, then we are missing the use of. The Holy Spirit, glory to God. Listen, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But listen, after Jesus Christ had did all of that, and he called them together and all his disciples together, and he breathed unto them, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit, and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now they have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we all received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was on the inside of us. And, you know, and I'm convinced of this, you know. All of us, you know, we have him, who? The Holy Spirit. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit come and live on the inside of our spirit. So we have him. But what my concern is and what my desire is for the church is, do we have it? Say that again, Arthur. We have him. We have the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus, boy, before he left, he breathed on the inside of those disciples and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. But the question is, man, do we have it? What's the it? Jesus said, boy, listen, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit come up and on you. What's him? That's the Holy Spirit. We have him. I just read it to you. He breathed into them the breath of life. You and I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. That's him. But my concern is, and my desire is for all of us, is that we get past, boy, him, we have in him, and that we possess it too. Not just him, but it too. What's it? That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what open blind eyes. That's what unstopped death is. That's what, boy, we get the lost saved. That's what's going to lead our loved ones, man, into the kingdom of God, boy. That's what's going to give us power over death, man. That's what's going to give us, boy, the ability to live the way God intended for us to live. That's what's going to give us the power, man, to live holy and righteous and upright, man, before our Father in heaven. Who are the Holy Spirit? I told you, he again, I say this, and I'm going to say this probably a lot in this broadcast. He's the least known one, the most neglected one. I'm talking about in the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The least known. Like I say, we know about Jesus. We know a little bit about the Father, but we don't know very much about the Holy Ghost. And as a result of that, man, he's neglected. And we don't know what his purpose is. We don't know what his role in the scene is. You know, and in all that, he's the most necessary one, because he's the power of God. He's the enabler of God. He's the one that enables us. Enables us for what, Arthur? To live this life, boy, to live holy, to live righteous, to live like God intended for us to live. Listen, you can't do that without the Holy Ghost. You can't live holy and upright before God, man, without the power of the Holy Ghost, boy, enabling us and assisting us. You can't cast out devils, man, and lay hands on the sick and open blind eyes and unstop death ears, boy, without the power of the Holy Ghost. Without it. Hallelujah. Listen, let me read something else to you. When Jesus, man, told them, boy, and breathed on the inside of them and told us to receive the Holy Spirit, then we have the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside of us. But it's the it that I'm concerned about. Let me read something to you over in Mark chapter 16. It says this again. It says, afterward he appeared unto them, Mark chapter 16, verse 14. And he appeared unto the 11. And as they sat at meal, he abated them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they didn't believe them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, watch this. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And watch this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. So after the end, the Lord had spoken these words, he was received up into heaven. And he sat at the right hand of the Father. Listen, boy, when Jesus Christ holy death, he told the disciples, he said, listen. He appeared unto them, and I prayed them for their unbelief. Then he told them, go. It was a great commission. Go what, boy? Go and make disciples of all men. In Matthew 28. How? Teaching them everything that I taught you. And Lord, I'll be with you until the end of the age. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. Tread upon scorpions and serpents. Overcome all of overcome everything that comes for you to go over in your life. Be victorious in every area of your life. Fulfill the purpose for your existence in every area of your life. What he's saying, Arthur Boy, he's saying to all of us, go. But then, you know, he gave them the Great Commission, but I saw something and I discovered something, you know. I was reading the book of Acts. In fact, let me turn there. I was reading in the book of Acts. In fact, let me just read it to you. In the first chapter, it says this. The former treaties have I said, O Theophilus, verse 1, of all that Jesus Christ began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, there he is again, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Listen, man, in those faces, verses, what he said, this is, he showed them, he appeared unto the disciples, boy. Then after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles. What's the commandment? He said, listen, I done finished the work that the Father sent me to do. Now I'm going to turn it over into your hands. I'm going to put, boy, salvation to the whole human race, boy. I'm going to pass the baton to you. Now, hey, listen, I took your place on Calvary. Now I want you to take my place. I died for your sin. Now I want you to take up where I left off in. I'm going to turn the reins of the ministry that God sent me to do over to you. Just like the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Are you? The work that the Father sent me to do, I'm sending you to do. He says, so, and through the Holy Ghost, he gave them the commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, and whom he showed himself after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he's still talking about the kingdom of God. At the beginning of his ministry, boy, his inauguration message was, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near to you. It's among you now. And when I finish doing what I'm doing and cleansing you up from all your unrighteousness and paying a penalty for your sins, it's not only going to be among you, but it's going to be on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And boy, he's talking about the kingdom. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. But you, watch this here, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Remember I read to you, boy, in Mark chapter 16, around verse 15, when he told them, boy, to go. And then here, boy, right before you leave, he told them, but before you go, wait. Wait for what? First he tell them to go, and then he told them to wait, to tarry in Jerusalem. Wait for what? Wait for the promise of the Father. What's the promise of the Father? The Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The enablement of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, let me just quote another scripture to you, and I'll tie all this together. God said, men, in 1 John chapter 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him who the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't overtake it, couldn't oversee it, couldn't put it out. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the Son of God. Listen, boy, see that word power there, boy? I mean, he gave them the authority to become what, boy? The offspring of God, the sons of God, the mighty men and the mighty women of God that he could do exploits through. Like I started this broadcast on talking about, boy. He gave them the authority. He gave them the ability. That word power, that means that he gave them the authority. Over in Acts chapter 1, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. That's a different word in the Greek than more the word, the power, man, that's in Genesis, that's in St. John chapter 1, verse 12, when you say he gave them power to become the Son of God. When you say that's authority. But when you say you shall receive power from high, that word power in the Greek is dunamos. Well, we get our English word from dynamo or dynamite. You know. Now you know what dynamite do, boy. It blow things up. So what Jesus said is not only, boy, do you have the authority to be the sons of God, to be the mighty women and men and women of God that God called us to be. But now I give you the power. I enable you not only, boy, to believe that, but to know that. You shall receive power from on high. You shall receive dunamis. You shall receive, man, the ability, man. And watch what he said. And you shall be witnesses unto me. When you receive that power. See, that's two different kinds of powers. You know, we got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, but God say, wait a minute. You know a whole lot about me and everything else. Like I say, the church is filled with information. You know about me and everything else. But until you can demonstrate it, then tarry. Wait. Listen, boy, them disciples knew all about Jesus. They walked and talked with him. They wasn't like the multitude, boy. They was with him 24/7, man, you know. So they knew of him. Who better could preach, man, besides Peter, James, and John and all those apostles, man, that were with him and that followed him and that knew him and that saw him walk on the sea and open blind eyes and unstopped that thief and raised the dead. And who saw that? They knew all about Jesus. But they didn't have the power to demonstrate. Right. That's why he told him, boy, he tarry, boy, until you receive the promise of the Father, what? The power from on high. Because when you receive the power from on high, hallelujah, then you're not going to just be a witness for me. You'll be a witness unto me. What's the witness for Jesus? That's relating all our information that we know, the knowledge that we know, all about Jesus. That's our preaching and our teaching, man, all about Jesus and all that Jesus did and how he hung, bled, and died and how he opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes and how he stopped it and how he called the disciples and how he rose from the dead and how he paid the penalty for our sin and all that. And that's a witness for Jesus. But a witness unto Jesus is a little bit different. That's not only talking about, boy, how he opened blind eyes, but that's, man, us going and opening blind eyes. Not only talking about how he, man, come to seek and save the lost, but there's us going and seeking the saving of the lost. And not only talking about how he cast out devils, but boy, us casting out devils. And not only talking about how he healed all manner of sickness and disease, but that's about us being able or enabled to do the work that he did to heal all the sickness and disease that confronts our life. What are you talking about, other boy? I'm talking about, man, I believe something that the church is beginning to, in our day and age, tap into and come to the knowledge of our Lord, boy. The third member of the Godhead. Listen, boy, everything that God do, boy, he's doing it, man, not by power nor by might, but by his spirit. If he the one that's doing the work in the earth today. Who? By the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Father through. You remember when the Bible say, boy, he created everything, and then on the seventh day he rested from all his work. I mean, he finished. Remember when Jesus Christ came, man, you know, and he did the work that he came to do, redeemed our life from destruction, restored the kingdom of heaven and the Garden of Eden back to the earth, cleansed us up from all our unrighteousness so that we could receive this promise, man, of the Father, the power of the Holy Ghost. And then, boy, after he hung, bled, and died and appeared to the disciples and breathed in them the breath of life once again, boy, then he was ascended back up to heaven, man, and sat at the right hand of the Father. And he said, remember what he said on the cross? It is finished. Father, the work that you sent me to do is finished. So the Father finished. The Son finished. And then he told the disciple, boy, he said, listen, boy, before he went, he said, it's better for y'all that I go away. Because when I go away, I'm going to send you back, boy, that same enabler, that same power, that same ability, that same Holy Spirit that dwells bodily on the inside of me, I'm going to send it back to you. And boy, John baptized you with water, but he's going to baptize you. Remember I read in Acts chapter 1, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with fire, and you're going to be a witness unto me. Hallelujah. So you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You got the dynamite on the inside of you. But boy, we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Because you can have a stick of dynamite, you can have the power and everything else. But what's dynamite? That's stored energy. That's stored power, you know. But until you ignite that, until you light that wick on that dynamite, then all you have is stored energy. But boy, once that dynamite, that fuse is lit, hallelujah. Boy, let me tell you something. Then it'll blow up something. Hallelujah. It'll blow up cancer. It'll blow up sugar diabetes. It'll blow up high blood pressure, man. It'll blow up, man, cervical stenosis. It'll blow up pain and suffering, man. It'll blow up racism, man. It'll blow up hatred, man. It'll blow up division among the body of Christ, man. It'll blow up, man, all the works of the devil, man. Hallelujah. But that boy, that's that dunamis, man. That's that dynamite power, man. That boy, God, boy, is enabling one and enabling us with, man, in this day and hour. But we pray with others so that we, our speech and our preaching just don't be with enticing words, but it might be in demonstration and power, too, so that we might be that church that Jesus Christ is looking to and for the earth for, that the Father is looking to the earth for, that he can do exploits through. And let me tell you something. The people follow Jesus Christ, man, and his ministry, man, not because of just what he was saying, but, boy, they saw the mighty works that he did. Hallelujah. They saw the blind eyes open. And, boy, as they saw the word in demonstration and in power, boy, that's what drew them, man, to him. They saw the goodness of God. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that draw men to him. They saw, boy, the oppressed being free, man. They saw, boy, the goodness of God, boy, being manifested through his son, Jesus Christ. They saw it. Hallelujah. That's why I say, boy, let me tell you something. We got a lot of information, but not a lot of demonstration. I wonder what, boy, they see. In the church, do we see blind eyes opening, and the deaf ears unstopped, and the lame walking, and the dumb talking, and the dead being raised to life again? Are we seeing those mighty works? The mighty works that Jesus said that we shall do also. Well, those mighty works, boy. That's why Jesus told them, boy, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Listen, we're going to start a series, you know. And for the first 3 years, it was an introduction to the kingdom of God and the restoration of God's kingdom back on the earth, you know. And I believe with all my heart, in this season, boy, God wants us to know, boy, the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, and what his work is and his assignment is. Again, the Father's work is through. The Son's work is through. The one that's at work in the earth today is the Holy Spirit. That's why I say everything that God is doing, not by power, especially all the power, not by our might, especially our might, but by God's Spirit. If you want to know, man, the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, man, you got to go all the way back to the beginning, when the Holy Spirit first came on the scene. Remember, then, I'm just sowing seeds today, you know, into your heart. And we'll come back along through this series that we're going to do on the Holy Spirit and knowing who the third member of the Godhead is. And I believe that that's very, like I told you, boy, he's the least known, the most neglected one in the Godhead, but the most necessary one in the Godhead, that it will enable us to carry out our God-given purpose and assignment that Jesus Christ commissioned us to be, to go and to do in Mark chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all men and teach them what I taught you. What he taught them, boy? He taught them how to reign in life. He taught them how to rule in life. He taught them who they really are and where they really come from and what they really can do, the potential that's on the inside of them. He taught them, man, you know, why they was here, the purpose for their existence, man, the reason for God created them and the reason for God putting them on the earth. You know, he taught them, boy, what our destination was going to be, man, what they destined for, boy. He taught them, man, the end. He taught them what they were going to end up in. What he taught them, Arthur, he taught them, boy, hallelujah, who they really are. What he taught them, where we really come from. So just like I, where you come from, I come from the farm. Where we come from, you come from the Father too. Where we originated in, you know, I originated in heaven. You originated in heaven too. If you come from your Father, our Father which art in heaven. Why are we here, boy? Let me tell you something, boy. Why he brought us to this earth? What's our purpose for him, man, creating us in heaven from him and bringing us to the earth? So that we can manifest, boy, his glory in the earth. So that, boy, the earth could be filled with the glory of God. How God is going to get that done, boy? Through his mighty men and mighty women. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. For what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be on earth just like it is in hell. How God is going to get that done, boy? Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. And how you going to get that done, boy? Well, do it by his spirit. And let me tell you something. That's where we come in at. It's the Father that doeth the work. The material that he used is the word of God. That's Jesus. And the master contractor, the builder, the one who manifested in the earth, that's the Holy Spirit. And here's the big deal. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. In order for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to do their work in the earth, they need a body. They need us. Spirits can't operate in the earth without a body. They need us. They need a body. So the way that God's going to get and manifest his glory in the earth is through his family of sons called us. Mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Who are called according to his purpose and his will. What? That we might show forth his glory in the earth. Glory to God. What are you talking about, Arthur, boy? I'm talking about, boy, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the church, and the purpose of the church, and the responsibility of the church, and the power that the church have residing on the inside of us, and how to tap into that power and unleash that power, boy, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hey, listen. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hey, listen, remember I told you how Jesus breathed into them and say, receive ye the Holy Spirit? Listen, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. What's the difference from the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us and being baptized in the Holy Spirit? If I could use this illustration, if the Holy Spirit, you know, you can drink water by the glass, and you can drink a whole glass of water, and what you have is the water on the inside of us. That water that we drink from the cup, that's the water on the inside of us. That's us drinking of the Holy Spirit, you know, and us believing in the Holy Spirit, and us receiving of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit in us. Hallelujah. But boy, let me tell you something. That's when we drink of the water of life, the word of God, you know, and receive the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's us drinking from that glass of water. But when you jump into a pool, it's boy, that water, drinking out a glass of water, that's the water on the inside of you. When you jump into a pool, boy, that's the water, that's you in the water. That's you baptized in the water. That's you submerged in the water. That's you covered up, man, with the water. That's you, boy, I'm talking about with the water all upon you. That's you, boy, in the Holy Spirit, boy. Not only the Holy Spirit in you, but you in the Holy Spirit. That's you walking in the Spirit, led of the Spirit, operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about it right here. And again, you know, we're going to do a series. It's just the introduction into, boy, the third member of the Godhead. I believe that's going to enable us, boy, to not only know that we don't mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Not only believe that, boy, but to operate in the power and the authority of that. If you read the book of Luke in the first three chapters, you know, there was a divine process that the Holy Spirit took Jesus through. That same divine process, boy, that the Holy Spirit must take all of us. What's that divine process, boy, that the Holy Spirit must take all of us through as well, Arthur? I'm going to read it to you. No, listen. In fact, I'm going to quote it to you for the sake of time. You know, Jesus' birth, which was natural and which also was supernatural, was by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know the story. Mary was a virgin. And the angel came unto the Lord and said, boy, hey, Mary, highly favored, you shall conceive and you shall bear a son and you shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And boy, and Mary said, how can this thing be, seeing that I'm a virgin and I know not a man? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. So and the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, watch this, it said, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And we shall call his name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Well, you see, unto us a child is born, and a son is given. The prophet prophesied, he said, listen, Mary gonna give the child. Unto us a child is born, that's Jesus. And unto us a son is given, that's Christ. Mary born the child. Christ born, the resident that lived on the inside of the child. Who is the child? That's Jesus. Who is the resident? That's the Christ. His birth was natural through the wombs of a woman, but it also was supernatural. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. Same thing like you and I. When you and I were born of the natural will of our parents and everything else, but boy, when we got cleansed of all unrighteousness and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and boy, we got saved, man, and you too, who had a natural birth, got born again. How? The same way, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And just like Jesus' birth was a natural birth and also was a supernatural birth, you and I had a natural birth. And also, when we got saved, had a supernatural birth, we were born again. You know what the Bible says? Then after Jesus had his birth, his supernatural birth, then the Bible say that boy, he reigned about 12 years old, then he went to the synagogue. And as his custom was, he went to, not the synagogue, his family went down to Jerusalem, boy, he was about 12 years old. And they went down there, boy, and when they're on their way back home, you know the story. They thought Jesus was among them, and boy, after they saw and realized that he wasn't among them, then they went back into Jerusalem looking for him, boy. And they looked for him for 3 days. And when they finally found him, boy, looked in the temple, they found him. And when they found him, boy, they said, man, we've been worried about you. They're looking for you for 3 days. And Jesus replied to him and said, don't you know? You should have known that I would be about my Father's business. If you came here first to this place here, you'd have found me, man, before you came back here. You should have known that I'd be about my Father's business. So even at 12 years old, he received the Holy Spirit. He received, boy, you know, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when he was 12 years old. So the second man, you know, process in developing the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Spirit. And then he received the Spirit. Just like you and I, you know, we were born of the Spirit, and then we received the Spirit. When we found out, boy, that he was available to us, and Jesus breathed unto them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. Just like you and I, some of us are saved, and we receive, those of us who are saved, and we receive the Holy Spirit. Then the Bible say, boy, after boy, he received the Holy Spirit, then they went on back home, and watch what the Bible say. And the Bible say, and he grew. He grew. And gained favor, he grew in the Spirit, and gained favor, watch this here, with God and with man. So the divine prophecy of God was born of the Spirit, then we see the Spirit, then we must grow in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Then, and as we're growing in the Spirit, we're gaining favor with God. We're gaining favor with man. We're developing, we're becoming man. We're being equipped, we're being developed for the purpose of our existence, to complete the work, boy, that the Father created us to do. Then the Bible says, after boy, he was born in the spirit and received the spirit, and then he grew in the spirit. Then you know the next thing happened. Being about 30 years old, his cousin was down there, boy, conducting one of those old-time baptismal services, man. And, boy, he went down there, and the Bible say, boy, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Boy, and when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, boy, he received an anointing and a power that he didn't have before. Listen, boy, from the time of birth all the way up until he was 30 years old, you know, there's not recorded in the Bible where you never hear about him opening blind eyes and unstopping deaf ears and casting out devils and preaching the gospel to the kingdom, to the multitudes and everything else, and having a public ministry, you know. Hey, I'm not saying that he didn't do great and mighty things, but we don't hear he don't have a public ministry. Why? Because, boy, until he had received, man, a power, man, from on high, boy. Boy, until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And, boy, after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, boy, the next process, man, the divine process, after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, for what purpose? So that he could be led of the Spirit. And then after he was led of the Spirit, where he was led, boy, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil. And, boy, you know what happened there, boy. He put the devil on his feet. And after he put the devil on his feet, the Bible say, then he returned in the power, glory to God, of the Holy Spirit. And from that time forward, he began to open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears and cast out devils, man, and healed the sick, man, and went about doing good and destroying the works of the devil. Man, after he had gone through the divine process, born of the Spirit, received the Holy Spirit, grow in the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. You remember what he said after that? After he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove, and the boy from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Boy, he's full of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Bible says the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in Jesus. Well, you're full of the power of God now, full of the ability of God now, full of the dynamite power of the Most High God, boy, to destroy the works of the devil. And boy, I full of it, boy, down, he led on the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He walking after the Spirit. He now fulfilling the desires of the natural man now, boy. He's boy fulfilling the desires of Almighty God. And boy, he put the devil on his feet, boy, when he was tempted. You know what happened, and he was led of the Spirit. Then he returned in the power of the Holy Ghost. And from that time, boy, that's when he began to unstop deaf ears and open blind eyes and everything else. And that's what God wants us to know, too. That the same process, the same divine process that the Holy Spirit took Jesus through is the same design process that he's taken us, the church, through. That you and I are born of the Spirit. That you and I must receive the Holy Spirit. That you and I, man, must grow in the Spirit. That you and I must be baptized in the Spirit. That you and I must be filled with the Spirit. That you and I must be led of the Spirit. For what purpose? So that you and I can operate in the power of the Spirit. Not just the information, man, of who the Father is and who Jesus is, but in the revelation, man, of who we are. Who is the we? The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And who we are, the church, the body of Christ, who we are. Hallelujah. Well, we're praying, Father, so that, boy, we can demonstrate, man, this gospel that Jesus Christ has commissioned us to go into all the world and proclaim. Not just with enticing words of our wisdom and our knowledge and our information, but in revelation knowledge, in revealed knowledge, in manifested power. Glory to God. That will destroy the works of the devil. That will mean multitudes, boy, to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. When, Arthur? When they see the exploits, when they see the mighty works that God has ordained us to go and manifest in the earth.